All right, guys, let's go ahead and get started. It's 1 o'clock. So my name is Kevin. Professor Tykonovich is out of town today, so I'll be running the lecture. And let's reflect on what today is. It's a Friday at 1 o'clock, the day before spring break. So I am public enemy number one to most of you, and I understand that. But unfortunately, there is material to cover today. I'll try to get through it as quickly as possible. The first thing we'll be doing is getting some volunteers, and then I'll be showing you guys some code. We're expanding on the last lecture, which is doing more with methods. So to start off, I need 4 volunteers to come up and be my class volunteers. Okay, yeah, come on down. 3 more.
Us 3.
Okay, all 3 of you. Great. Okay, so together, these 4 volunteers make up the class volunteer. We've got some code on the board. I'm only showing you 1 line. And what they're going to be doing is running these methods for me. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be the program, and I'm going to be main memory. So you can see back on the board, we've got main memory, we've got console, and we've got these 4 methods. Let's go through each one. So public static void erase. We'll erase whatever is on the console. There's nothing there right now, but there will be in the future. Okay, public static void write int a. We'll write that number int a onto the console. So you're going to need an eraser. You're going to need something to write with. So here's an eraser. Okay, public static int add. Int A and B, return A plus B. So the way we're going to have you guys return is just say the number. So if I give you 9 and 10 and the sum is 19, just say 19 and that's your return value. So they're going to return things by saying things, and you're going to execute the body of your method by just doing actions or thinking in your case. Okay, public static int next in, return the next number. Oh, you don't mention that. But you do. So, return the next number on the console, and also erase it. So, you got chalk and an eraser. You can just grab the eraser, because that's a lot of stuff to hold right now. Okay, so let's jump through this code. Okay, int x equals volunteers.add 2, 3. So, as the program, I'm going to allot some space for int x. In main memory. So let's go x right here, and its value is going to go right here. So I'm going to call the method add, and I'm going to pass you the values 2, 3. What do you say, add?
5.
Great. Okay, so I take the value 5, so that's returned back to me, and I'm going to store it into x. So x now has the value 5. And at the pace this is going, we should get through the lecture pretty quickly, I'm hoping. Okay. Next line of code, int z equals volunteers.add. All right, add away for me. What you got? Good question. What are you adding? Okay, this is not a valid method call because you've got 2 parameters and I didn't give you any. So you have no information to work with. What are you adding? I don't know. This is an error right here. Great. Okay. Let's continue on. Sweet. Volunteers.write 7. Okay. Write, I'm going to give you the value 7. Can you write that on the console for me? Console's over there. Great. Now I've got the value 7 on the console. X has 5. Z is nothing because that failed. All right. Int y equals volunteers.write 3. Okay, write. Can you write 3 for me again? Sweet, okay. What do I have? What are you giving me for y? What do I get?
Y?
What are you giving me? What's your return value? Yeah, he's confused because it's a void method, which means it doesn't return anything. So again, I just wrote some faulty code. This is an error because I'm getting nothing back and I'm trying to store nothing into y. But let's keep the value 3 on there for now. Okay, x equals volunteers.add 2, comma volunteers.nextInt. Whoa, that's a lot of stuff. Okay, let's break it down. So I'm going to at some point need to call the method add, and I'm going to have to give him 2 arguments. I'm calling these arguments because it's in my main method, and I'm passing these in. He's going to call them parameters. Okay, so 2 is okay. I've got the 2. Volunteers.next. Actually, let's change this code. Let's make this an x. Okay, so x, I'm going to be giving you a 5. Okay, so I got that. I've got my 5. The next thing is volunteers.nextInt. So actually, an argument, I'm calling a method here, which is perfectly valid. So I'm going to call you nextInt. Can you give me back the next number on the console and erase it? What's that?
What number?
The bottommost one on the console, and then erase it.
Write 3 again.
Oh, just erase it. Sorry, you don't actually need. Okay, great. So I've got 5, and I've got 3. Okay, so now I can finally call add, giving you the values 5 and 3.
8.
Great, so 8 is stored in x now. Okay, and I forgot one line of code. Okay, last line. Erase. Calling you. Great, so nothing's on the console anymore. This is an interesting method because there aren't any parameters / arguments, and he didn't return anything back to me. That's it, guys. Thank you. Okay, on to the second part. That took 7 minutes. Let's see if we can keep this up. Okay, so I'm going to write some methods for you. The first one I'm going to write is bigger, and it's going to take 2 parameters, and it should return back whether A was bigger than B or not. Okay, so let's think. What's the return type? Let's start writing this method. Remember, it goes outside of the main method, but inside the curly braces for my class. So all of our methods are going to be public because we want them to be accessed by anything. All of our methods for now are going to be static. And in the past, lecturers kind of gloss over what static means, but I'll try to give a brief explanation right here what it means. You're probably not going to be tested on static. You just need to know if they say put static in, that's where it goes. Generally, if a method is static, you put it right there, or there's nothing there. So throughout this lecture, everything's going to be static. So what does static mean? Let's give 2 examples. One static example is math.pow 2, 3. Right? That raises 2 to the third, and I'm able to call it on the class math directly. I don't need to call like math my math equals new math, right? And then do like my math of dot pow, right? So that doesn't really make sense. You don't need it because the method pow doesn't depend at all on the state of an instance of a math class. So you're able to just call that method on the math class itself, not an object of that class, right? So when I say the class itself, I'm saying like capital M math name of class dot some method, whereas an instance is when I create a variable and call it on that variable. So on the other hand, an example of a non-static method is something like scanners.nextInt. Right, so you guys have seen this line of code a lot. I made a scanner that's reading the keyboard, and I can call keyboard.nextInt. So this is an example of a non-static method because I'm calling it on an object, right? An object is an instance of a class. I can't do scanner.nextInt because the scanner class itself doesn't know what input I'm reading from. So for example, so this one needs to be non-static because it depends on the state of my object. Okay, that's a little bit of a tangent there. Let's get back to the main stuff. So going back to isBigger, public, static, right? Okay, now we need our return value. So I'm saying whether it's bigger or not, that's two values. It's either
Boolean.
Yeah, Boolean, great. So it's a Boolean. And then method name is bigger. And I have two parameters. I'm going to call them int A, int B. I can name these variables, these parameters, whatever I want to name them. All that matters is I need to refer to whatever I call them, right? So they can pass whatever variables they want when they call is bigger. It's just I'm calling these parameters so I can refer to them inside of my code. Okay, so if A is greater than B, let's return true. Else, let's return false. Okay, so that works, right? So if A is greater than B, let's return true. Otherwise, let's return false. But this is 5-ish lines of code. And we can actually make it a lot cleaner and simpler. Because notice, right, what goes in the parentheses for an if statement needs to evaluate to a Boolean, and it does. So A greater than B will be true if A is greater than B, and false if it's not greater than B. And right, that's what we want to return. That's exactly what we want to return. So let's just return A greater than B, right? So that does the same thing as the previous code. Both are entirely correct. The difference is that I wrote this one in one line and the other one in five lines, so I argue this is better. The other thing to consider is whether it's more readable. You guys can decide that yourselves. Okay, now let's do some silly things. We've written it twice correctly. Let's do something wrong. So if is bigger of A comma B. Sweet. Okay, it looks like it might work. There's no problem here. Let's call this. Okay, so 2 is not bigger than 3, so I'm hoping I'll get false. Let's say Boolean results equals this, and let's print it out. Okay, try to minimize talking, if you can. Thanks. All right, so let's try running this. Whoa, what just happened? No, it does not like it. Can anyone tell me, whoa, that's a lot, what might have happened here? It says, exception in thread main, java.lang.stack overflow error, and it links me right here. Okay, so anyone want to volunteer? Yeah?
Programs recursive, you define it by itself, and so it says if it's trying to figure out the program by figuring out the program by figuring out the program, so it just does that a bunch of times and never gets anywhere.
Yeah, that was a great answer. For those of you who didn't hear him, he said, I tried to write a recursive method, which meant that I've got a method is bigger, and I'm trying to call that same method inside the body of that method. And that's a very viable way of programming. In fact, it can lead to very elegant solutions, but I'm not using it correctly right here. Because when you call a method, right, so we call isBigger, and now isBigger's going to call isBigger again, right? So now my first call of isBigger is waiting for the result of the second call. Then we go to the second call of isBigger, and now it calls isBigger again. It's waiting for the third call. And this goes on forever because we just keep on calling isBigger, and it never generates any result for us. And each call gets placed on what's called the stack. And we eventually have too many isBiggers to hold in memory, and we get what's called a stack overflow error. So that's a little complicated right now, and you'll run into it a lot more often when you guys do recursive methods later in the year. But for now, if you didn't understand that entirely, it's not a huge deal. Okay, so let's return this back to the correct syntax here. Okay. So hold on a sec, gotta find the next one. Okay, so the next method we're gonna do is printing out an array. Let's show you guys why we might need to print out an array. So let's make an array, double array. Oh, I forgot. Right, we need to say open close brackets to indicate that it's an array. Equals, now I could do new double of size if I want to be like three elements, but I'm actually just going to create my list right here. So some convenient syntax is to do two curly braces, which does not indicate a new block of code. It's special syntax for defining an array literal. So, right, let's put 2.2, 7.8, 9, 0, 10. Okay, so I've got a double array of 2, 4, 5 elements, right, index 0 through 4. So if we print out this array as is, let's see what happens. So right here we have our result from before, false, that's good. Oh, what is that? So that's a memory address. Actually, it's this whole part right here. So arrays don't print out nicely, is the point here. So what we're gonna have to do is make our own method to print out the array in a clean way. So let's write a method right here, public static. Okay, what's the return type? Anyone volunteer?
Double.
So actually it's going to be void because we're not actually passing anything back to the caller. The purpose of this method is to just do system.out.println a bunch and print out the array. That would have been totally valid if our idea was to return back, like, well, maybe it would have to be a string if we wanted to return back the result and they could print it themselves. So let's go void. And let's go print array. Okay, so the syntax I want to print it out is like this. I forget what values are in here, so I'm going to put random things. 7.2, 8, 6, and close bracket. Honestly, the way I'm going to do it is there's going to be an extra comma here, but it complicates the code in a way that I don't think is too important to remove that comma there. So our print array should look something like that, and we could ask the question, do we want to do like a print line here, or do we want to leave the cursor back there? That's up to like a design decision. You guys could decide that yourselves. I think maybe do a print line because you probably don't want to print two arrays out on the same line. Okay, so let's go ahead and print it out. So the first thing is to print out that square bracket. So let's print that out. And now we need to iterate through each element in the array. And remember, for an array of size 5, but we don't know what the length is, we'll have to get it from the array. We would iterate from 0 to 4, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, printing out each element one at a time. So for int I equals 0, we start at the first element. What's our condition to stop? It's when it's less than the length, right? Because for an array of size 5, we want to do 4, and that trend continues. You always want to go to 1 less than the length. So less than array.length, and then I++. You guys have seen this a lot. Hopefully you're pretty comfortable with loops. Okay, so what do we print out here? So we want to print out the array at that index, so or the element at that index. So array of I, and then we also want the comma. And let's also put a space. Okay. Now, doubles can be pretty messy, right? If we divide 2 by 3, it's going to be 0.666666 forever, and then our printout is going to look a little weird. So to solve that, let's create a decimal formatter. And you guys should have done this for one of your homeworks. I think maybe like the first or second homework. Okay. So if I want to print this, each element to exactly 2 decimal places always, does someone know what I should put in the argument for the constructor for decimal format? Was that hand? Exactly. Okay. So for those of you who didn't know off the top of your heads, what you put in there, a 0 means I'm going to print out a digit at that location, no matter if there's a digit there or not. So for example, if I wanted to print out 7.2, but I wanted to print out like 7.20, I would put 0, 0 there, because even though there's no digit at the 100th place, I'm going to print out 0. Another option would be to do pound, pound, which says kind of the opposite. If there's no digit there, I'm not going to print it out. So that in that case, if I printed out 7.2, it would just print out 7.2. But we want to print out always 2 decimal places, as you noted before. Okay, so rather than just array of I, we need to call df.format and pass that in as an argument. So we'll do df.format array of I. And that should work for us. Now I'm forgetting one thing, which is the square bracket at the end and the print line. Great, okay, so let's see if that worked. So our class name is lecture code. So to invoke this method, since it's a static method, I can refer to the class itself that the method belongs to. And I can call print array, and then I pass as an argument the array I want to print. And let's go ahead and see what happens. Great, everything was to 2 decimal places, and as I noted before, we have this extra comma. If you guys want to on your own, you can get rid of the comma, but it's not super important for this lecture. Awesome, so we can print an array now. So another thing we might want to do is, rather than printing the array, return back a string, so then the user can choose whether they want to do a print or a print line, or use the string as however they want to. So let's go with public static. Okay, now we're returning back what in this case? String, right? Okay, public static string, call it string of. And instead of doing doubles, let's mix it up and print out strings. Okay, so I would like to have the same format with the brackets, and in this case, I want quotation marks around my strings if it's I. Okay, so when you print a string out, as you know, it doesn't put the quotations in there for us. So we're going to have to manually put those in. Okay, let's start off. So we're going to have a answer that we're going to return back at the end. And what should we start it off as? So one option would be to start it off as just empty quotes. And a lot of times, that's all you're going to need. It's essentially make a string for me that has no characters in it, and you can build the string from there. But in this case, we actually know what the first element we want to use is. It's that square bracket. So let's put the square bracket in there. And this code's going to be very similar to the other code in that we're going to have a for loop, but now we're going to be building on that string with concatenation. So for int I equals 0, I is less than array.length, I plus plus. Right? Same exact stuff in here. Okay, now we need to get the element at the given index of the array and add it to our answer. And then at the end, we're going to return answer. Okay. So ants plus equals. Okay, let's look back here. The first thing we're going to need for each element is the quotation mark. Ah. What? Okay, that's weird. So how do we do this? I think this was in one of our other homeworks. Since quotation marks are used for indicating a string, if you want to print out quotation marks themselves, you need to do what's called escaping out the character and put the backslash before the quotation mark. Okay, now we want to add to it the element at index I. Right, so that's how we access an element at index I. And then we also want to add the end quotation mark and the comma and the space. So same thing here, comma, space. There we go. And what plus equals says at the beginning of the code is essentially saying, take whatever's in ants and then add to the end of it whatever's to the right of the plus equals. So we're building our string. Now, this should work, unless if I did something incorrectly. Let's try it out. So let's first make a string array. And we can do the same syntax to create a string array. And do that. And let's try printing that out. So since it's just returning a value, it's not going to print it out for us. So what we need to do is pass as an argument the method call. So I think it is string of, and we can pass in string array. Let's see how it looks. Oh, I forgot the end. Come on, guys. Right, so this should look a little bit better now. Cool. Not perfect. As we noted before, it has that extra comma, but that is fine for us right now. Okay. Let's look at the next one. Okay, next one, I'm going to need a volunteer. This one's going to be called find biggest, which given an array of doubles, it will find the largest double. Whoever the volunteer is does not have to come down. Just gonna ask you a question and you'll have to give me an answer. Anyone? Yes. Okay, great. I'm going to be feeding you numbers one at a time, and you all should be following along. And you're going to need to tell me what the largest number I give you is. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, 2, 3, 94, 26, 100, 36, 28, 104, 39, 56, 58, done. What was the biggest number?
104.
Yeah. Okay, how did you do that?
I listed each number, and then I only remembered it if it was bigger, and then I just kept that number
in. Yeah, so you remembered one number at a time, just one number the entire time, and updated it if you got a larger number. And our program's going to work almost the same exact way. The only difference is, I bet, when she started off thinking about what the largest number was, before I gave her any numbers, she probably just had like a blank number in her head and just automatically assigned the first number I gave her to be the largest. Your program's going to have to operate a little bit differently than that. We're going to have to initialize it to some value. And the way we determine that value is we want it to follow the same behavior that it followed for her. So we want the first value to always be greater than whatever we initialize our max to be. So in order to guarantee that, we want our double to be the smallest double it can possibly be, the most negative it can possibly be. So we're going to assign it double dot min double, or I don't know exactly what the syntax is. We'll figure it out as we go. Okay, so right, public static as always. What is this one returning back?
Double.
Yeah, thanks. We have one more method after this, I think. Yep. So we're almost there. Right, double array. Okay. So, like I said, we need to initialize our return value. And we're going to initialize it to be the most negative number because we want to overwrite it immediately when we see our first element. So double dot min value, which I'm hoping, let's look at the description here. Min value, the smallest positive non-zero value. Ooh, that's not what we want. What's that? Yeah, so maybe we could do negative 1, whoa. Negative 1 times double dot max value. What's min normal? Okay, so let's do max value and multiply it by negative 1, and let's add 1, just because I think that'll be fine, but just in case. Okay, so now we need to loop through the array, and we need to keep on updating ints if we find a number that's greater. So for int I equals 0, I is less than array.length, third time we've done this part, right? Okay, so what's going to go in the body in here? So we only update ints if we get a larger number at index I. So if array of I is greater than ants, we set ants equal to array of I, right? And then at the end, we can return back ants. Now notice how we've repeated logic in our code. Remember, we calculated is bigger before. So rather than repeating how to calculate if something's bigger, why don't we use that method right here? So lecture code dot is bigger, and then we've got two parameters, right? And yeah, this is not super helpful because, oop, what's wrong here? Oh, so that one took ints, and we're passing doubles. So, scratch that. We can't even use that method unless if we modified it. You know, let's modify it. So, right, the problem was that these take in ints, and we pass in doubles, and you can't easily convert from a double to an int because you lose precision. So, let's make this method more general, I guess, and return back and take in two doubles. So, it'll still work if they pass in two ints, because doubles are more precise than ints, it will automatically convert it into a double for us. But now we can take in doubles as well. Great. So right here, this is not all that helpful, right? Because the code was right before, and I actually have more characters that I wrote out. But as you'll see in our next method, it's really helpful to write methods to modularize your code, which means break it down into smaller pieces and abstract away how you're solving particular problems, allowing you to focus on the big picture as you code along. Okay? That was a lot of words. Okay. Last method. Okay, this one's scale to max, scale to 1, public, static. Okay, so scale to 1, essentially what it's doing is if I give it this array with 7, 4, 2, 8, and 6, I'm going to scale all the values down to be less than or equal to 1, where the largest value in the array is going to be equal to 1. So I'm going to take an easier example. I don't feel like dividing 7.2 by 8. So, all right, let's take 2, 4, and 8. Now, I could pass in scale to 1. I could pass in this array to scale to 1. And what it should do is find the largest element, which is 8, and then divide each element by that number. So we divide 2 by 8, and now it's going to change the actual array's value to 0.25. I'm going to divide 4 by 8, and it's going to change the actual array's value to 0.5. I'm going to divide 8 by 8, and again, same thing, it's going to be 1. So we're actually modifying the array that we passed in. You can't do this with primitive types because they're passed by value, But the opportunity here we have with an array is because it's passed by reference, we can modify the actual object that they pass into our method. Okay, so the return value again is going to be void because we're modifying the array in place. And we're going to call it scale to 1. And we're going to take in a double array. Okay, so like I said, the first step, find largest value. And we could repeat all the code we just wrote if we wanted to. But this is where methods come in really handy. We can solve this problem simply by saying double x or double largest value equals lecture code dot find biggest of array. Right? So now we've got the biggest. We've abstracted away how we're finding the biggest. We can just trust past selves to have done this correctly. And we can test these independently. Right? We're confident that find biggest works. Kind of. I didn't show you if it worked. Step 2 is scale each element. Okay, so let's loop through the array, scaling each one, and overriding the value as we go. We're looping through the array just like we have all the other times. Okay. Now, we want to get our scaled value, and it's going to be the element at index I, and we want to divide it by largest, divide it by largest value, right? And since we have a double in both the numerator and the denominator, we're going to be doing double division, which is what we want. We'll get some precision here. Cool. Okay. Now we've got the scaled value. And like I said, we want to overwrite what was previously in there. So the way we set an element with arrays is really simple. We just say array of I, and we can treat this almost like a variable. And let's assign it scaled value. Great. And hopefully this is done, right? We don't need a return value. But there's a lot in here. So let's go ahead and test out our code. Okay, so let's call lecture code dot scale to 1 of double array, I think we have. Okay, now let's print it out again to see if we correctly scaled it to 1. Oh, we don't need to use system.println because our version of that code prints it out for us. Okay, lecture code dot print array of double array. Let's hope this works. Oh. Forgot. Close parenthesis there. All right, and our previous values were 2.2. So 10 was the largest. Right, and that scaled to 1, 0 stayed at 0. We divide that by 10, divide that by 10. Oh, I totally could have done that on the board. Oh, well. Great, okay, that is all I have. Any questions? Yeah?
Could you just show us how you called the last one?
How I called the last one. Yeah, so since it was a void method, and because it just modified our array for us, I called it with lecture code.scale to 1, and I passed in the array I wanted to modify. And then at the end, I printed it out using the method we wrote before. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, thank
you. Okay, thank you guys. Have a good spring break. Sorry to keep you 40 minutes. Yeah, I'll post this code as well as the...